The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Waka waka waka. Waka waka. Waka waka. Waka waka.
Come on, that was your perfect opportunity, Doug, to start rapping. You've been wanting to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm really good at
it. I hope we're not recording.
We are recording.
Wow.
Yeah.
You better not air that.
This is just...
Our,
why?
Because that was...
Our whiteness speaks
for
itself.
That was the whitest beatboxing of all time.
It's like, I really like rap, but you can see why I don't, like, you know, try and identify with it.
So guys, I had a spiritual experience the other day.
Another one?
Real one. Another one? Yes, I had another one.
Okay.
So I was meditating and, you know, trying to think about...
Were you doing like this?
Yeah. Yeah, I was humming strangely.
Yeah, yeah.
And had my eyes closed. And
so you started speaking in tongues?
I was singing, I was sitting cross-legged.
Are you medicated?
Huh?
Are you medicated?
I was totally natural.
Okay.
Which is what makes it real strange. And I'm sitting there.
Is it dark?
It's dark.
Okay.
And I'm focusing and I'm
breathing.
Did you
have your pants on?
And I'm thinking, no pants.
Okay.
And I never had pants on.
Okay.
And
sage or, like,
right
or bay leaves?
What?
Sage or bay leaves.
Oh.
I'm talking about aromas, bro.
Oh. I like them both.
Stay with me.
I like them both.
Lavender.
I like to burn a little lasagna and smell. That's my tie-in in me.
Justin's trying to paint this for us.
I waft lasagna.
Yeah.
Listeners
need to, like,
yeah,
you know,
you're not very
know
descriptive
where you
when you tell your stories.
So,
exactly.
I'm in the room.
Put us there.
Lights
is there,
are
like,
out.
Bamboo?
Okay,
you know,
so
like
lights are out, no pants on.
Right.
Just focused on the center of my body. And
really hearing yourself.
And breathing. And my brain wants to come out of it, but I bring it back in by focusing on my breath. And it wants to come out. I'm bringing it back in. And little by little.
It's like contractions.
Little by little, I start leaving this dimension. I start leaving my body.
What?
And that's when I heard it.
Stupid, dude. You have me listening to that whole story for that, bro.
You know what's funny, bro?
Oh my
god.
We
got sucked in. We were like this close to the mic.
I
was
like,
Adam is so disappointed. Yeah. I got him so excited about that story.
I am so disappointed.
So much foreplay for the quah.
That was a wasted 4 minutes.
He's
right
like
there.
A little kid. He's like, and what happened? What, dad? Oh.
And then?
Not quah.
Did I give you blue balls?
Yeah, dude.
Did I give you blue balls? I'm sorry.
Upset.
I'm sorry, bro.
Go on.
Yeah, we do have quah.
Go on with it.
All right. Richard Hill, 85. The best.
He's either 85 years old or he was born in 1985. Continue.
One of the two.
Or his favorite player, who was 85 back on the Niners.
That's got to be Roger Craig.
I was waiting for Sal to contribute.
Thank you. That's one of the three football players.
Go black and gold, man.
Yeah, couldn't be. That's more of a receiver. Number,
damn, you know you suck at sports when Doug knows more.
His question is the best pre, during, and post meal if you don't want to take any supplements.
Oh, okay. So this is what you eat before, during. You probably shouldn't eat a meal during your workout.
No. And you should even start saying that without preface it with it totally 100% depends on your goals.
Yeah.
Because
what's
best if you're just looking for an overall performance in your workout? What's best if you're trying to build muscle,
right,
or what's best if you're trying to lean out and burn fat? Because all three of those change
different
for
scenarios.
All three of those scenarios.
Yeah. So for performance, studies will show that consuming about 2 hours before your workout, roughly around 2 hours
basically
before.
So you digest it.
Yeah. Some carbohydrates, starches, probably good, like white rice would be good. And maybe a little bit of lean protein. Not a ton. You don't want to have a big-ass meal before your workout. So, you know, some rice and maybe some chicken. And maybe throw in a little bit of green vegetables just to so you don't, you know, get constipated. That's for performance. For fat loss... fasted is probably the best.
You wouldn't get some. You wouldn't get some more fat in that the pre.
If they're people keto, don't want to hear that. Here's the thing: if they're ketogenic, if they're dieting and they're very, very low carb, then some medium chain triglycerides would be good.
Well, you didn't say low carb. I mean, I'm not thinking low carb. I'm just thinking in general. You wouldn't do rice, avocado, and and the chicken breast.
You know what? For health, yes, but for performance, it slows down the absorption of the carbohydrates. So theoretically, you're probably better off with just proteins and carbs.
Well, that's what I was, but
I mean, again, I'm saying theoretical because I don't think there's ever really been a study done that's specifically on that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So for fat loss, you probably want to go into it fasted.
Yeah, for sure.
During, I don't see how you want to eat during a workout unless you're like in a hardcore endurance athlete.
Maybe Branch Shannon, I asked it or something, that you wouldn't want to eat a meal.
But he's saying no supplements.
Hardcore even, yeah. Okay, it's only like cyclists and like marathon
That's
runners
what I'm
that
saying.
Even, yeah, they even need like that carbohydrate. And it's usually in like a really instant, like digestible form. Like
it's in
kind
a
of gel
it's
or
in
something.
A, it's a jizz packet.
It's a jizz packet of carbs.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're doing a super long workout, let's say you're doing for some crazy reason, I don't know why, but you'd be doing a 3-hour workout, then you might want to take a break at about an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
And eat some fruit, probably, or maybe some more starches. Just to give you some more of the glycogen that you might need. And then post-workout, studies will show 2-to-1 ratio carbohydrate to protein for recovery. If you're keto, then
it's 2-to-1 now. I remember when it was 6-to-1, 4-to-1, and now it's 2-to-1.
Yeah, it could be exactly. See, that's the thing.
Yeah, you know,
it's not an exact. It's not really an exact science.
It's probably up to the individual that's actually, you know, how they absorb it.
Right.
Yeah, it's totally and it's not super exact at this point, but. Healthy, you know?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. For me, personally, for performance, I might do okay with a little bit of carbs pre-workout or nothing. Having a meal, even 2 hours or an hour before, for me, I tend to perform a little worse. You know, I do better fasted. You know, or almost fasted.
Well, it took a while to adapt to that, though, right? Because for me, it was like...
Yeah, I'm the opposite.
Yeah, it took me a bit to get used to training fasted, but then once I did... Going back, if I eat anything before that, I have a terrible workout, even when I'm in a performance state. So that's just because I've trained that way for quite some time now. So, but yeah, initially, you know, it was a little bit of a shocker, but then, you know, I adapted pretty quickly.
It's interesting. You have to take into account the variances between individuals. Because again, there's general truths when it comes to nutrition or fitness, but we're talking about nutrition. But there's a huge variance between individuals.
Well, just in right there, I'm different than you guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I know you always have to eat before.
Yeah, I have to eat before. And I don't want something right before. I want something about 2-3 hours before.
Yeah.
You know, I need to
What's your typical pre-workout meal if you want to have a good workout? When we meet up on Fridays and you're getting ready because you want to try and outlift me.
Well, no.
Because you know he plans that whole
you know,
out.
On a Friday, I will... And I don't call it fasted because I'm nowhere near fasted. I have a very big breakfast, almost like 2 breakfasts for my early morning. Yeah, breakfasts. Like that.
All my breakfasts.
Take all your words, smash them together.
Hey girl,
it's all one word now.
Big old breakfasts.
I like rubbing on the breakfasts.
I got all like boing on your breakfasts.
Yeah, I don't even. You guys are fucking too fast. I can't even make fun of myself in time. I stopped to fucking talk shit about myself.
I'm like,
you guys jumped all over me. Fuckers.
I have to because it's more fun.
Right. It is more fun that way.
So you have a big breakfast.
So I have my
holy breakfast.
My big breakfast. And then when we train like at anywhere between, if I train anywhere between 11 and 3, I won't have another meal. If I do anything, I'll do like this banana, blueberry, spinach, almond milk shake.
For a second, I got grossed out, but then you mix it together. That sounds
Yeah, yeah. I make it into.
I thought you were gonna make a muffin. That's fucking weird.
So it's really light, and a little bit of fruit and stuff like that in there. And I get it maybe an hour, half hour, hour before I train, or I'll go in, without any meal. Just because I don't want to feel lethargic, so and I do definitely if I eat a big meal within an hour or less of a workout, I do feel a little lethargic.
Oh, I want to
so,
take a nap,
but I don't like being fasted, completely fasted. So I couldn't go and not eat, and I do fast all the time, but this is not how I do it. I would not fast and then train with you guys at, you know, 11, 1 or 2 in a fasted state, because I can't get, especially when we're trying to get after it. If I'm just get going through a workout, that's not a problem. But if it's a day that, like you said, where we meet on Friday, like, I know we're going to, we always tend to get after it a little bit. So, you know, so I want to be fueled for that for sure.
You know,
it's preference. You know what I'm saying? That's all that is.
I was just going to say,
it's not like a science behind
that. Let me give you an example of how different the human body can adapt. Okay. I was just blown the fuck away by a study that I read not too long ago about athletes, extreme endurance athletes who eat ketogenic diets. Ketogenic diet being extremely low carbohydrate, very high fat, and moderate protein.
Yeah, that's extreme.
And these are athletes that are like extreme athletes. They were advanced athletes. These are people who do marathons and longer, 100-mile bike rides. And they compared them to other athletes. Now, in the past, I've said this a million times on the show, eating a low-carbohydrate diet, you're going to get a drop in performance. And like clockwork, you always do. However, the body adapts. So they took athletes who'd been doing this for 6 months or longer, and the average length of time that each of these athletes had been eating this way was something like 20 months. So they'd been doing this for a long time. They tested them against other athletes, and their performance was excellent. They had no drops in performance. And this is the crazy part. They stored as much glycogen in their muscles as the other athletes did. So their bodies adapted.
This was, what, 8 months later, I believe, right? I think you sent that to
us. Well, they all had to have at least 6 months of being on the keto. So it just goes to show you that, you know, at the end of the day, kind of listen to your body. There are general truths that you should eat healthy. You should probably eat whole food. You should probably, you know, don't overeat. But, you know, best pre-workout meal for you might be different than what it is for someone else. It likely is to be different than what's
well, at the end of the day, and I think Lane Norton was one of the ones I think I was listening to when he talked about this. Someone asked a very similar question to him. And at the end of the day, it's more important you get what your body needs whether you get it in one meal, two meals, spread out over four or time. I mean, I just wrote a post not too long ago on my Instagram that, you know, meal timing is a crock of shit, you know, and the whole post was about that. It's not that it's a crock of shit that there's no such thing. Like we just said, you could eat 2 hours before and technically it's better for performance. Yes, the science is there to support it. But most people now, especially because of the bodybuilding world, you know, do it for aesthetic reasons and trying to build a better physique. And at the end of the day, if you're getting what your body needs, it doesn't necessarily work that way. You know, like you're talking about splitting hairs. Yeah. When you're getting down to breaking up timing.
All the way
like
down
that.
To pubic hairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Those tend to be thicker, though, so you're splitting less.
But if it, you know, I always tell people, too, though, if it helps, like, that's part of your regimen. Like, I get that, too, where, you know, you have a good discipline about that. You like to eat this, you know, balance, like I did, like a shake. You know, that shake, is it's a good time for me to get some spinach in there. I get my blueberries in there. Like,
now, do you blend so you don't juice it, you blend it.
Yeah.
So it's like a magic, it's the bullet.
Yeah.
The magic bullet.
No, well, I have the.
Because I might be getting one for Christmas. That's why I was asking.
Well, yeah, that won't all fit in the magic bullet or whatever. You have to put it in. You have to put it in the big one for that.
The magic. That plug.
Those things do like little things. Those things are cool. They work I like it. You know, it's but
Justin. I bought Justin a booty bullet, but it's still different.
Booty bullet.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
It's magic too.
Yeah. Tommy Teen Fitness
it dances.
Oh, I guess the next question.
Another question. Yeah, we're moving
Thanks
on.
Thanks for
guys.
Jumping in.
Yeah, yeah. How should a 16-year-old train for powerlifting?
I'm sorry.
How should a 16-year-old train for powerlifting?
The same way a 20-year-old would, with special emphasis and on form and on
technique,
and on stability. Mm-hmm. Just through my experience training 16-year-olds, they just probably grew recently, and they're in a new body. They're not as coordinated. So, like, I'll give you an example. If I have a 20-year-old take a dumbbell and press it above their head, who hasn't worked out, it's going to be less wobbly and all over the place than a 16-year-old's. So you have to pay special attention to that.
Yeah, well, we just call that, I mean, it's composure, right? And it's exactly what you said, you know, working on that spatial awareness and just, you know, body mechanics. And the best advice I would give as far as like getting into powerlifting is making sure, you know, your coach is very adamant about your form and you perform these lifts with, you know, a weight that's not like too demanding, right? So you want to make sure that the emphasis is on the mechanics of what you're doing. And you're not trying to achieve these like PR benchmark things like you are in your other compound lifts, right? So you're building your strength through your backloaded squats, you know, your bench press, you know, these types of things. And now you're expressing that strength in an accelerated form.
Okay. But we're keeping it light because especially at that age, you know, you have nothing but longevity, you know, in front of you. And it's not, the importance is not that you're moving a ton of load over your head or you're catching a lot of weight from the ground. It's in how your body moves and you get that reaction that's immediate.
And don't forget the technique because a lot of powerlifting is technique. It's not just strength.
Yeah, 100%.
So you're going to practice a lot of technique. Say,
proprioception and technique all day long. I mean, there's no reason for them to be lifting heavy weight. Now, that being said, I have seen it before too with, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-olds that do end up having, you know, they do or they have that technique. They have that form. They once they get training and they pick it up. And they're normally anomalies. You know, they're,
right.
It's rare to see it as someone that young with just this great, rigid, solid, perfect form. It's the body mechanics aren't there yet. They're not, the maturity isn't there, but there are those anomalies. And I've seen those kids before, you know, and that's what it is. I think it's having a good coach who can assess that and look at him or her and say, oh yeah, he or she's ready to start stacking some real weight on there and actually trying to lift heavy weight. Otherwise, the lifting heavy, even though it's power lifting, it's the weight part is not important whatsoever at this point in their career of lifting. It's all technique.
And if you're not getting that from your coach either, don't be afraid to seek that out. Like, you know, seek out a professional, you know, Olympic or powerlifting coach that can, you know, spend some time with you and assess your body mechanics and making sure that everything is lined up and you're doing things correctly, because, you know, you're setting yourself up for later on. And if you do it the wrong way, you're going to build bad habits.
You know what this reminds me? You know what it reminds me of? 16-year-olds or 15-year-olds, like right around that age group. It reminds me of like when you see a dog, like a big dog especially. They grow super fast. So you'll see like a one-year-old, you know, Rottweiler. It's a big dog already.
Yeah.
But you ever watch them walk and move? And they're kind of clumsy with their movement. They're not fully used to their body.
Yeah, right.
As a matter of fact, the term old man strength, we've heard this, I'm sure you've heard this before, where someone's like, oh, he's got old man strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you ever see like a 17, 18-year-old who's like really strong, then he goes and wrestles his 45, 50-year-old dad, and the dad just kicks his ass. Even though the dad's not as strong as the kid, he just knows how to use his strength
right.
better.
Yeah.
It's because the dad has been in his body in that size for a lot longer than the kid has. And so that's where a lot of this coordination issues come from with these young kids. And that's why it's so important to focus on technique.
The ability to fire that central nervous system. That's exactly what that is. Yeah. You know, and that kid doesn't have that at that age. And that's why, and I tell you what, the kid that actually chooses to take the smart path, which does not get concerned about lifting super heavyweight or PRing, and is solely focused on becoming a master at technique, watch what that kid is in 2 years, 3 years. That kid will be a badass.
It's nothing but growth from there.
Yeah,
why you have to think in those terms.
If being able to do those movements become like doing that in the sleep for him, and it doesn't matter if he was considered strong or not, he is going to fucking excel past everyone. Other than what most kids do is they look at these people that are their peers or a little bit older that have been powerlifting, and they want to get to a certain weight. And I look over at the way they're doing their form, and their backs are all rounded, and they have terrible technique and form, and they're trying to lift more weight so they catch their buddy. It's like that person's going to have an uphill battle the rest of their powerlifting career because they didn't start off. You've heard of it just like golfing, right? With golfers,
they're creating a ceiling.
Most people tell you if you ever get interested in playing golf, like, do not go swing a club until you go talk to a pro. Have somebody show you, because what's happened, you get bad technique.
You can't shake them.
To relearn it is like a whole new process.
Yeah.
Most people just say, fuck it, I have a hitch in my swing, I'm not trying to become a pro, and then they just have kind of bad technique for the rest of
it. Hack their way through the rest of it.
And they'll hack their way through the rest of their golf life.
It's funny you say that, because I remember I had for the short period of time that I did boxing, the boxing coach told me it's easier to teach a beginner how to box than it is to teach a black belt in Taekwondo how to box.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have to unlearn all their old martial art moves to learn the boxing. Whereas a beginner goes in with an empty cup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The cup is empty. There's no knowledge in there. I'm just going to fill it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so true.
Next question is from Boom Boom Fit One. He's asking about HMB for muscle growth and performance.
Boom Boom Fit.
Boom Boom Fit.
Yeah.
Boom Boom Fit.
You're right there with me, bro.
Yeah.
HMB, hydroxymethylbutyrate. That is, it's an interesting substance. It's a it's a metabolite. Don't be laughing at me.
Put a white coat on this gentleman over here. Huh?
You know what?
Give him a stethoscope. Somebody.
This bullying is getting old, Doug. It's getting old, Doug.
Well, you know, it's...
we're just giving
like
shit.
It feels like we've been doing this forever, but, you know, now we haven't. And I feel like now that these Q&As have come around a few hundred times now, it feels like almost... I'm starting to pick up on Sal's patterns. He always picks these ones anywhere where he can put in that he knows a big fucking long word for the acronym.
Hydroxymetal butyrate.
Yeah. He's like, oh yeah, let's answer that question. I'm like, and you know, it never ceases to amaze me because he's got here as soon as we get started.
You know what? You have a point there because if we look back to all the we've done over 100 Q&As. I guarantee it. Go back to all of them. There's never been a sports one.
Yeah, like
there's a reason for that.
I know.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, because see, I look at like an acronym like HMB, and all I see is like huge man boners. That's like, yeah, yes, right?
Yeah.
That must be what it is.
Well, so huge man boners. So HMB, it's a metabolite of leucine, the amino acid leucine, which is one of the branching amino acids, which are leucine, isoleucine, and valine, I believe. Approximately, I believe something like 5 to 10% of leucine is converted to HMB in the body. On a gram per gram basis, HMB is more effective at preventing muscle protein breakdown. So it prevents catabolism, or where your body's trying to break down and destroy muscle. So HMB is like leucine in the sense that it does that, but it's more effective on a gram for gram basis. It's also a lot more expensive too when you try to purchase it. That all being said, the studies are very, very good and promising on HMB. Studies show that it helps prevent overtraining. It lowers myostatin. People get better athletic performance from it. When they give it to the elderly, they lose less muscle as they age. There's all these amazing benefits. In fact, HMB, I believe, they'll probably be serving it in hospitals soon to people who are bedridden to help prevent muscle loss. Now, with all that, understanding all that, my personal experience with HMB, I don't know anybody who's ever been had their mind blown by HMB. I don't know anybody. HMB has been around for a long time. Probably the only supplement that's been studied more than HMB is creatine. But I don't know anybody that's ever come up to me and like, oh, HMB, fuck, I got
it's
so many.
The answer. Yeah.
Never. I've heard that about creatine. Never heard about HMB. I've taken HMB. I've never noticed anything over branched amino acids, which I'll take branched amino acids all day long. They're a lot cheaper. So it's not that I'm not recommending it because the science is very strong behind it. It's just I don't know anybody that's ever really gotten anything out of it, you know, that they would have gotten that they didn't get out of branched amino acids.
It lowers myostatin?
It does, but so does creatine, so do branched amino acids. A lot of things.
On a really minimal level.
It'll lower it. So it does contribute to the muscle building process. Here's the one bad thing I see about HMB. HMB in the more common form, usually comes with some calcium in how they put it together. So when you're taking HMB, you tend to be taking calcium. So I've heard of people who will mega dose HMB. So the recommended dose is usually like 3 grams a day, 1 gram three times a day. And people will be saying like, oh, I take 10 grams a day of HMB and I get great results. The problem with that is then you're taking a shit ton of calcium. And calcium is not a good – it's not a good idea to take a shit ton in supplemental form because you can – affect just the way your heart beats. You can affect your arteries. You can cause different problems with that. So that's the only thing I would say is don't mega dose on HMB like I've seen some people on the forums recommend. But do you guys have any experience with HMB?
No, I don't. Uh-uh. No, that's why when you wanted to take it, I was like, well, what do we?
Hydroxymethylbutyrate.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to fill me in on it for sure. I mean, but
you've never heard anybody, right?
Well, that's just it. Just the simple fact that it's been studied and it's been around as long as creatine. I'll tell you right now, the one number one supplement by a long shot is creatine. When it comes to muscle gaining and performance, like nothing in this.
Yeah, aside from nutrition and workout, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, yeah, of course. When we're talking purely supplements and what's came out science wise and everything in the supplement world over the last 20 years, right? The creatine by far is surpassed ever, no, and nothing even every the next.
You'll notice if you can assimilate creatine. If you're not one of those people that gets an upset stomach from it. Or gets really bloated from it. Some people just can't assimilate it well. But if you take creatine and it doesn't bother you, you will notice. It will be a very profound, dramatic effect. Mm-hmm. You'll take it and be like, "Holy shit, I'm stronger and I'm getting really good pumps." Yeah. It's not subtle. Whereas HMB, I think, is extremely subtle. But like I said, I think branched amino acids are very similar in that respect. The only people I could see really benefiting from HMB are people who are walking, kind of teetering that line of they're dieting, but they might be eating a little too little, and they're working out super hard, and they're just kind of teetering on that line of overtraining. And so I could see maybe like pre-contest, like physique competitors and bodybuilders, maybe athletes who are like need to make they're peaking and they're trying not to overtrain, maybe could benefit from it. But other than that, I've never really heard anybody like have anything like profound to say about it.
Mm.
So. Is what we're saying.
No, it's backed by studies. That's not a shit supplement.
I know.
That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Final question from Bro Banyan. If you could have sex on any piece of gym equipment, what would you choose?
Whoa, Doug. Did you pick this one?
No. But
why don't we start with which ones have you already had sex with? No. If you could have sex on any piece of gym equipment.
Cue the porn music.
Dude, it would have to be the abductors and abductors. Adductor? Yeah.
It'd be hard to get in there though.
Really? Have you experienced that?
No, I'm just saying.
You're just speculating.
Yeah,
Adam's like,
Yeah, I think
don't put me on spot.
Say on the you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking of like me. How am I going to get in there to do it?
Yeah,
I'm thinking the T-bar row with the chest brace, so that they're like laying down, like with their, you know what I mean. That makes kind of makes your butt stick up in there.
Yeah.
What the T-bar row, the T-bar pad?
You know the T with the pad.
You can even pull in.
I could grab the thing
exactly,
and I'd have
it's
to put
a team effort.
I'd have to
there.
Put like 600 pounds. On
so
that.
She's like,
because I put a lot of power. You know what I mean? It's only 2 reps, but it's powerful. 2 reps.
Yeah,
you know,
very powerful.
Maybe the Smith machine.
I'm
just kidding.
Just because, too, right?
Just to do it on it.
Yeah, let's think of all the machines that were.
I think of like immediately, and I know this isn't a machine, but the stability ball is so good.
Dude, you're such a weirdo. It has to be a machine.
It rolls.
You have to use a machine.
I can make it bounce.
Because there's
Justin doesn't know machines.
I know, I don't. He's like, what?
How about the lying leg curl?
I heard of like a hammer.
Yeah,
thing.
See, lying leg curl. Lying leg curl might be a good one because it puts because it puts them in the anterior pelvic tilt, aka, you know, head down, ass up.
Right.
That's the
way we like to.
That's how I was picturing the adductors. You know when the girls do it now, where they like balance with their butts up with that. You'd be seated in that position. Now you seeing it now.
Uh huh.
See, all I'm thinking is like, like good mornings or something. Like
deadlifts.
Deadlift.
Yeah.
Oh, good mornings.
That's an exercise though. That's not a machine though.
Yeah,
right?
Like sneak up on them. Hey, grab. Hey, honey. Can you grab
sneak
that
up on her?
Watch your head.
Hey, here.
Grab that barbell.
I see what you're doing.
Why
there,
are you?
I like it.
Why are you tying my hands to the barbell? It's this new exercise. Don't worry about it. Why is there 500 pounds so you can't move?
Rotate.
Boom. Here it comes. What if just a bench? What about
cable
just a
machine
bench?
Masochism?
I feel like that's too basic.
It's
bro.
Too basic.
Don't be basic. Don't be a basic bitch.
Well, all right. Let's think of a complicated. Let's think of a good machine that. Would be a good one to.
Yeah. Hmm.
Oh, the neck machine.
I really don't.
The
know
neck
machines,
machine.
For blowjobs. Because it does the motion.
Because it locks them in?
It does the motion. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, 10 more reps.
That's so ridiculous.
Add a little resistance. Go to a party. They're like, damn, does your wife wrestle or something? She's got a thick neck. Like, is she a grappler? No, what are you talking about?
Some of those gyms still have those. They have those in there, right?
The neck machine?
Yeah.
I would love to use a neck machine, but here's why I won't. Well, I will not put my forehead and cheek on a fucking pad that some other sweaty asshole was rubbing his face all over. But I'd love to use one. I used to use a neck harness. I used to have the one where the chain where it goes around your head and you tie the chain through the weight.
You would do all
that.
That
would be a cruel joke if you were the guy that, did it on top of one of those and like you're doing like a head exercise and you smell something.
Yeah. Hey,
not cool.
Somebody clean this machine with chlorine.
It smells like sex.
Why does it smell like chlorine?
This is weird.
I caught. Have you ever caught any of your staff doing it in the gym?
Yeah,
you did a lot more than once.
I caught somebody in the cycling room.
One immediately just came to mind, but if I thought about it, there's probably been more.
So I had. I remember once I had this fitness manager working for me, and he just kind of disappeared for a second, and he would do that every once in a while, no big deal, because he just perform it, he performed well, so I didn't say much.
I already know you're talking
you know
about
exactly what I'm talking about, because I know the story circulated.
Take care of your top performers.
I know the story circulated. So someone, my front desk person, comes over to me, comes up, can I talk to you in the office? I'm like, sure. She comes in and she goes, so and so is up in the storage attic area, and he's fucking his girlfriend. And by the way, at the time, this is just weird, the kid was like, the guy, the fitness manager guy was like 23 and his girlfriend was like 45. So I don't know. I just want to throw that out there so you get the visual.
All right.
So he was up there crushing, right? So I'm like, well, fuck, what do I do now? Because I like the guy and he's not technically in the gym. You know, so I'm like, and
this is a zoning issue.
I love how you
and
do
you
that
can't too. And you can't I can't hate on the kid because he's performing well. He's only been gone for 30 minutes.
Oh my
he's
God.
Getting his, you know, he's getting his groove on. Like, I can't hate on him, but someone saw him. You know what I'm saying? So now I got to say something.
A member saw him.
So now I got to say something, right?
Yeah, an adult.
So I'm like, fuck, because I wish I caught him. Because if I caught him, I would have just left. And then after he came out, I'm like, dude, you got to be a little smarter about where you're doing it. So he comes. So I call him in my office, and he comes in my office, and he sits down. And I'm like, and I fucking ripped him, blasted him. Not because he had sex, but because he was stupid enough to get caught.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm like, bro, if you're going to fuck in the gym, don't get caught, you dumb shit, because now we got to deal with this bullshit.
Yes.
I'm not mad that you hit it in there. I'm actually kind of, that's kind of cool. I'm kind of proud of you, but you got caught, which makes you stupid.
Lots of sex stories in the gym.
That's why I was a cool manager.
The gym industry, they say, yeah. I think hospital's number one and gym industry is number two for infidelity. It's supposed to be like one of the worst as far as just... It's all the
every time
it's all the endorphins.
You gotta
it's
think. Rampant. I want you to think sometimes that my wife might be listening, Adam, when you say those things. Those kind of things.
Well, we don't work in a big gym anymore. So
I met mine at the gym, so she knows,
right?
Yeah. So you caught someone?
I've had two that came to mind since you've been talking. So I had one where it was one was a trainer, she was a trainer, he was a front desk kid, and they had set up and they had been doing this for a while. Already, because they had literally in the back area had set up like this
little bungalow.
Yeah, a little bungalow.
Wait, it was Hillsdale?
No, this was Santa Teresa.
Oh,
we're exactly where it was.
Yeah. I know. No, he's not saying names. I know exactly where this was.
And they set up these mats and everything like that. And it was, they had obviously been doing this more than just
the
once.
Production.
Yeah, it was all set up back there. So.
But you didn't catch him in the act.
No, I did.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, because another trainer had showed me the setup. And I was like, well, and
some shit's going down.
Well,
here.
And they had told me, and I'm like, well, I can't just like, I didn't catch him. No one's caught him. Everyone just assumes, right? Well, so I did. I caught him going back there, you know. Now I caught him before they were.
Oh, I thought you caught him while they were doing
I gave him just enough. Because
that would be weird. Like, if they're having sex, do you like, what do? You stop halfway through?
Listen, you know, when you're done, come see me after that.
Yeah. Well, then I had another time where all of us, and you know who this person was. You probably don't know the story, though. He was the GM at the time. And I believe she was an operations manager, and we were at the boat party where all the top managers got to do this right around the fucking ferry boat and by the giant stadium or whatever. What's it called?
Ferry
right.
boat.
What was it called? The horn blower.
It goes like
the horn blower. So we, you know, they had food, champagne, everything like
Alcatraz
that.
Or something.
Yeah. So I was on one of those events. We're out in San Francisco. And after we go eat and stuff like go out on the horn blower, we get dumped off, and then everyone decides like, oh, hey, let's go get a drink downtown somewhere afterwards. And so like all these managers are all there, and we're all you know, it's all a work event. These are all GMs, DMs, and everything like that. And I go in the bathroom, and he's just railing the shit out of this girl inside the bathroom. I mean, she's just it's literally a one stall two urinal little tiny bathroom. There's not even a door. On the bathroom.
Oh my gosh.
Their stall has a door, so you can like hear them into the bar.
See, but that's passion. You know what I mean? There's no
that's
class.
That's like Porky's.
There's
remember
no
that
but
movie.
See, but see, there's no class in that. But that's passion. Like they got so fucking horny that they're like, I don't even care. Like we're just gonna
like
fuck
little teenagers
in front of everyone.
Oh, it's
like,
crazy.
No
part
idea.
Of me's jealous. Part of me's like, you're. What's wrong with you?
Those are probably those. Go for those it. Are probably the most recent. I'm sure if I sat here for long enough, I'd probably think.
You know, we should.
Oh, I know it's
a
lot.
The listeners need to know that fitness events are the worst. The worst.
Well, they had to ban ours.
You
there,
get, they had
stuff.
To stop.
Oh yeah, too many times we had the ambulance go in there and stuff
dude,
like that.
You
dude.
Get no shit. Yeah. He's not even making
no,
that
no,
shit
we,
up.
We had that the reason.
Drug overdoses.
Yeah.
Everybody having sex with crazy shit.
Yeah.
Fitness events, and I think it's because everybody in fitness is so anal about being fit and don't eat and then they're also sex like super you know drived hormones because they're all working out and shit and everybody looks good and. Everybody's fit. It's like you put them all in a room together, throw some alcohol in there, and then people sometimes do their own shit, drugs. And what are you going to get?
Oh, God. Yeah. Chaos. Complete chaos.
You're getting, you're having a good time. So with that being said, I think Mind Pump should throw an event soon with the at Doug's house.
Yeah, yo.
Doug's house.
He's got mirrors.
He's got mirrors and cameras set up. Subscribe to Mind Pump if you want to be awesome. Leave us a 5-star
review.
Leave us a great review.
Killer review.
Yeah.
And mention Doug. Mention Doug's
likes it when you do that.
Sex appeal.
And his,
virile.
His eagle profile.
Eagle sex appeal.
Boom.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.